It's one of the world's most evocative substances. To many people, it represents the essence of life, a religious sacrament, a gift from the gods. But to me, it embodies the past. Because inside this tiny crimson drop is the greatest history book ever written.
The JHS 13th Annual Multicultural Film Festival is proud to present The Journey of Man on Tuesday, May 13th at the North Portland Neighborhood Library at 6 p.m. The North Portland Neighborhood Library is located at 512 North Killingsworth Street. That's The Journey of Man at 6 p.m. at the North Portland Neighborhood Library on May 13th. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
To celebrate our spring membership drive, KBOO is proud to partner with Hopworks Urban Brewery to introduce the British Invasion IPA. Hopworks, an eco-brew pub offering sustainable organic beers, will have the British Invasion IPA on tap during our spring membership drive at both hub locations, 2944 Southeast Powell and 3947 North Williams in Portland. You can learn more about what the Hopworks British Invasion IPA means for KBOO at kboo.fm/IPA.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, also heard around the world at www.kboo.fm. Stay tuned for the Tuesday evening news. This program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the League of Women Voters of Portland, helping to make democracy work with printed and online voters' guides for the May primary. You can check your library or vote 411.org for more information and a guide personalized to your address.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Producer is under scrutiny due to its unethical treatment of animals.
Tigard residents file a complaint against the city about misspending of city funds.
Federal government issues a citation against OHSU for abuse against primates.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Tuesday, May 13th, 2014. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Emily Young.
And I'm Kristen Young. A major animal laboratory in Portland has been cited for abuse of primates by the federal government. The National Primate Research Center at the Oregon Health and Sciences University was cited by the U.S. Department of Agriculture for the deaths and injuries suffered by 22 primates. The lab currently houses over 5,000 animals used for research and experiments. The animal rights watchdog, Stop Animal Exploitation Now, filed the complaint against OHSU for violations against research animals. The complaint was filed after a July 2013 construction project severely stressed the monkeys, causing them to fight, sending 21 to a veterinary hospital. As a result, 6 monkeys died from their injuries or were euthanized. For more, KBOO's Chris Hargrove spoke with Michael Budke with Stop Animal Exploitation Now.
In a recent inspection, the USDA found that in one incident, 21 primates had been injured, 6 of whom had died, and in another incident, another primate was deceased, had died. And so that's how we reached this total of 22 primates being either injured or killed at Oregon Health Sciences University. And these are all very serious incidents because they were all entirely preventable. That's why we consider these to be incidents of negligence by Oregon Health Science University.
Do you have any idea what the Department of Agriculture's actions are going to be about this?
That's very difficult to say. The maximum penalty can be as much as $10,000 per infraction per animal. It's not often that severe, but we would hope that Oregon Health Sciences University would be fined by the USDA because, as I said, we consider these incidents to be extremely serious because a number of animals died, and they are clear violations of federal law, and so OHSU should pay a very severe penalty for this.
Have there been many similar incidents to this in the past?
Oregon OHSU paid a fine just about a year ago, and so that's another reason why we think this is so serious, is that the previous fine was not sufficient to bring them into compliance, and that's why, as essentially a repeat criminal in this situation, we think they deserve a very serious penalty.
How many primates have been affected by all this, made sick, injured?
Well, and it depends exactly how you define that. In this specific inspection, they discussed 22 primates that had either died or were injured. However, the inspection report also discussed a situation at OHSU where over half of the primates at the facility have significant, if not severe, hair loss. And considering the fact that OHSU houses on annually approximately 5,000 primates, if more than half of them are so stressed out by captivity that they're losing hair, we're literally talking about something over 2,500 primates that are severely affected by the situation at OHSU. The kind of things that we're seeing at OHSU are really part of what we would consider to be a national pattern. There have been numerous situations of negligent animal deaths at other primate research centers, including Tulane, Texas Biomedical Research Institute, Harvard, and other laboratories that are part of the primate research center system. And so this is part of a national pattern. It's something that we're going to be looking at on a continuing basis. If anyone would like more information about the abuse of primates or other animals in laboratories, they can find us on Facebook, Stop Animal Exploitation Now, SANE, S-A-E-N, or go to our website, which is saenonline.org.
That was
Michael Budke with Stop Animal Exploitation Now, speaking about the citation issued by the federal government today against OHSU for abuse of primates in its lab.
Dairy cooperative Dairy Gold Incorporated was hit with a proposed class action Monday, alleging that some of its milk is produced by dairy cows that are injured and sick, and that its workers are denied drinkable water and meal and rest periods. Dairy Gold is a subsidiary of the Northwest Dairy Association, which is also named in the suit. The dairy cows have been reported by Dairy Gold's own farm workers, who say that the animals are being treated unfairly, and workers who complain about the mistreatment are dismissed. This afternoon, KBU Sequoia Wright spoke with Jorge Valenzuela of United Farm Workers, who also had a Dairy Gold employee on the phone to explain more about the situation.
What's the temperature of the farm workers for Dairy Gold like right now?
We feel like we can do nothing about it, because if you talk to somebody or do something about it, they fire you or even sometimes they don't want to pay you. I worked for 3 years on JBB Dairy in Ayon, and I saw so many things that you don't imagine.
Juan, can you give us a quick example of what you actually saw with your own eyes in terms of cow being harmed and what was done about it?
Yes. That day we were working like normally, and we were milking the cows, and one of the cows, it was sick. It has fever, so she fell down and she couldn't stand up. And then the guy, he was in charge. He was the supervisor, His name was Amado. Amado Juarez. He bring a taser with him and start to chase the cow. So the cow, it was just like screaming, or I don't know how you say it. It was screaming because she couldn't stand up. She was sick, and he was keeping on tasing her and tasing and tasing and tasing, and until we asked him to stop. They stop doing that, and we can move it. We can pull the cow for where it was. And then he said, shut up. I'm going to do it again. And he tased like three or four times more, and then finally he decided to stop because the cow wasn't responding. She was so sick that she couldn't stop, and he wanted to still milking it. So it was pretty crazy.
And were you able to go to the higher ups, like the managers, to tell them? And what did they do about it?
He's the manager. He was the manager.
Oh, he was the manager.
Yeah, he was the one that was in charge of the dairy.
Wow. Okay.
He was the one who was in charge of the dairy, and by that, it was just the owner there. But if we talk to the owners, they said what they could tell us is to go talk to a model, to the manager. We can do nothing about it. He was the only one. And he was the one who was doing that to the cat. I talked to people, try to do something, but they were scared to do something because they can lose their jobs.
Yeah, it's a question. This is Jorge. Let me just clarify some of the complaints or the lawsuit. So the lawsuit is it was filed by the consumers, not by the farm workers. But the lawsuit was filed by consumers, and it was filed because of the treatment of the animals, and then the treatment of the farm workers as well. So it wasn't a lawsuit that was filed by the farm workers themselves. It was rather a lawsuit that was filed by the consumers of the Dairy Gold products. The consumers are asking Dairy Gold to make right on their promises. So Dairy Gold, again, they place this corporate social responsibility report on their website in which they claim to be producing milk in very high standards where, you know, workers are being treated right, animals are being treated right, the environment is being taken care for. But, you know, with everything that has come to light through these reports, then the consumers are asking Dairy Gold to make right by their claims and their promises.
Okay, Jorge, and again, we're speaking with Jorge right now with United Farmer Workers, and also Juan, who is a employee of Dairy Gold. What's next? What does UFW intend on doing in terms of bringing this issue more to light and making Dairy Gold be held more accountable for healthier products that they're producing?
You know, we have, as Juan was stating right now, we have attempted to communicate with Dairy Gold in many, many times in Portland, in Seattle, in Sunnyside. We've attempted to communicate with some of their, you know, farmers, and to no avail. We were able to have a meeting with their attorney at one point, but it didn't result in anything. The company just didn't take any steps to remedy the conditions that the farm workers were reporting. So that's what we're asking. We're asking Dairy Gold to... and this is separate from the consumer complaint, but the farm workers themselves are asking Dairy Gold to take steps to remedy the abuses and the conditions that have been reported in various of their farms throughout the Pacific Northwest. We've traveled from Jerome, Idaho, to Bellingham, Washington, Oregon, and we've seen a lot of similar cases in all of these farms. Workers are reporting animal abuse. Workers are reporting wage theft. The farm workers themselves have also asked Dairy Gold to take immediate steps to remedy these abuses. you know, we have to hold these companies accountable, because it's not right that they do these types of things and then put out statements saying otherwise.
That are not true.
And especially for the workers, you know, we can't, in 2014, we can't continue to allow workers to have to, you know, abuse cows and have to work under these types of conditions.
For KBOO Evening News, I'm Sequoia Wright.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you locally produced newscasts every single weekday. So now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us now are Barbara and Larry to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
And we are, and now our mics are on, which is even better. So I'm Barbara, that's Larry, and we're going to tell you the best way you can support KBOO right now is going to your phone and calling 877-500-5266. That's the magic number. It gets you connected to our operators who are sitting right behind Larry and me, waiting for your phone call, waiting for the phone to ring, so that they can help you through the steps of becoming a KBOO member. And once you become a KBOO member, life changes dramatically. First of all, really helps the station out. That's a little secret. We really like to get your donation of 40, 60, 100, 120.
Any amount is
fine, though. I said here, $500 would be really nice. And that sounds like a big chunk of money. But actually, if think about what you spend $500 on. And if you have that kind of money to spare, I can't think of a better place to put it than KBOO. So all you have to do, if you want to donate that, or you can donate $5 a month, it's only $60 a year, or anything in between, call 877-500-5266. You can also go online and punch in kboo.fm. That's right. And there's a tip jar in the upper part of the webpage, and you just click on the tip jar and become a member. It's very painless. All it does is it costs you a little bit of money, but it gives us so much. And it's like costing each individual one of you a little bit of money. But when you all join together in solidarity and support KBOO, then it's a lot of money for us. And it'll help us meet our goal for this pledge drive, which I can't see from here because I'm nearsighted. Larry, can you see what the goal is for this hour?
$250.
$250 is all we need to raise this hour. So what better time to support KBOO than during the KBOO news?
Exactly, yeah. KBOO operates on a budget of about $84 an hour, actually. That's how it works out, too, on average. And that is not a lot of money. I mean, no other radio station in Portland or maybe the whole United States operates on such a small budget. So, in other words, your donation dollar is used very, very efficiently by KBOO Radio. We mostly work with volunteers. So give us a call, please, 877-500-5266, or go to kboo.fm. That's 877-500-5266. Now, back to the news.
No, we...
Okay, just a second. kboo.fm or 877-500-5266.
The U.S. Senate today decided to extend tax breaks to big businesses without a way to pay for the resulting deficit. Republicans who voiced loud concerns about the deficit in the past were oddly silent in today's debate. And the Democratic senator from Oregon, Ron Wyden, also failed to speak out against the extension of tax breaks for the very wealthy, instead pointing out that he's working on a compromise within his committee based on what he calls the political reality of Washington. Wyden is the chairman of the Finance Committee, and he spoke on the Senate floor this afternoon about a bill to extend certain tax breaks that expired at the end of 2013.
As much of this as we can until the Senate gavels back in at 2:15 Eastern.
Mr. President, this morning the Senate begins consideration of a tax cut bill. The Finance Committee agreed to call it the Expire Act. And I'm going to take just a few minutes to talk about why it is so important that this bill be passed and passed now. And here are a few of the key reasons. First, if the Senate doesn't act, veterans who are now packing job fairs across this country are going to face an even tougher struggle to get good jobs. Second, because the jobs most essential to our economy, the good-paying, innovation-driven jobs needed to underpin a growing middle class, they'll be harder to create. And third, because just when underwater homeowners get hold of a life raft that keeps them in their homes, a big tax hike could yank it away. And fourth, because millions of students are already up to their eyeballs in debt, without this, they'll go even deeper. And in addition, producing clean energy will grow more expensive, risking the high-tech jobs. That every member of Congress wants to protect. The Expire Act addresses all of these issues and more. And the second question that I think is going to be relevant to this debate is, what are the implications for the cycle of stop-and-go policies that have made the tax code in this country so unnecessarily complicated and uncertain? The Expire Act ends that and builds a bridge to comprehensive tax reform. Now, many of these stop-and-go incentives are good policy, and they ought to be extended permanently. For now, this is about balancing short-term needs and long-term goals. In the coming months, the Finance Committee is going to pursue a tax reform plan on a bipartisan basis that gives all Americans the opportunity to get ahead. But right now, what's needed is to protect jobs and deliver more certainty. On April 3rd, the Finance Committee passed the Expiring Provisions Improvement, Reform, and Efficiency Act. Mr. President, there was a strong bipartisan vote in the committee. And we called the bill the Expire Act for one reason. It's supposed to expire. And I stated that morning that on my watch, Mr. President, this is going to be the last time that the Finance Committee considers a tax extender bill. Once this piece of legislation is enacted and behind us, the committee moves on to the critical next challenge, and that is comprehensive bipartisan tax reform.
That was Senator Ron Wyden speaking today in the U.S. Senate. He said that he believed lawmakers could slow the practice of tax avoidance by multinational corporations without actually passing anything, by sending a message to multinationals that Congress does not approve of the maneuvering. But critics have said that his statement amounts to a lot of hot air.
The citizen watchdog group, Tigered First, today filed a complaint with the city attorney accusing the Tigered City Council of misallocating funds to support a planned Walmart superstore. Tigered First is calling for an immediate freeze on the expenditure of city gas tax funds until a public investigation and audit is conducted. For more, KBOO's Jinka Soderberg spoke with Steve Blintilif of Tigered First.
Steve, can you tell us about the complaint that your group filed today against the city attorney there in the city of Tigered?
We've been watching the city of Tigered, the city council, and city staff for a year. Our group was formed largely in opposition to the announcement that Walmart was going to build a huge super center over in the Tigered Triangle. And in the course of watching that, we noticed some funny things about road improvements around that area. The complaint that we're filing today, that we filed with the city attorney, we're asking the city attorney basically to do his job, enforce the Tigered Municipal Code. What the city council has done and what city staff has done is manipulated the process of a citizen input into street improvements and sidewalk improvements that are needed in neighborhoods, and they've manipulated that process so that they can get $1 million of the city gas tax money and apply it to an area that benefits Walmart, since it's right next to the intersection where the Walmart Supercenter is going to be. The reason that we're making this accusation, just for some background, is that the city council back in 2007 set up a gas tax for the city of Tigered. It's 3 cents per gallon. And the express purpose of that was for street improvements and sidewalks, pedestrian crossings and the like, to be used in the neighborhoods. And the money would be allocated based on a priority list that was set up and determined by a citizen advisory committee. We've been looking at the list that the citizen advisory committee has been producing over the past several years, and we looked at the one for this current fiscal year. And the area that the city is committing to spending $1 million to, at least proposing to tonight in their city council meeting tonight, is never on the list, has not been on the list in any year, and it's not on the list of about 16 projects that are listed from the Tiger Transportation Advisory Committee. And in fact, number one on the list, which costs a little more than $1 million, is a street widening project on my neighborhood, a street that's residential, but it's heavily trafficked. It's just two lanes and a ditch on either side, no sidewalk. My kids never had the opportunity to drive to walk to either middle school or elementary school in the 14 years I've lived there. So we feel that this is an example of how money that was intended for Tiger's neighborhoods has been diverted in favor of the business interests, and in this case, in favor of Walmart.
So is it the opinion of Tiger First that the city has violated its own codes by diverting the gas tax funds to increasing the size of this street next to the planned Walmart?
That's exactly what we're saying. We're really saying two things. One is that they have manipulated the process to get money to allow them to fund basically some road improvements where they think they need it, rather than where the citizens have said they are needed, and in places, frankly, where they are sorely needed. To anybody that's had to walk to a bus stop, walking through either the mud or having to walk out into the street. And then I think the second thing that we're saying is that the citizen advisory groups, which the city says they rely on for input into the priorities for parks and streets and street improvements and sidewalks, it's really becoming a farce. Go to meeting after meeting, and I hear from city officials saying, you know, they don't hear enough from the citizens, and they don't know exactly what people want. And here's a situation where there is a mechanism to get exactly that, and they decide to do what they want anyway.
And again, the city council meeting in Tigard is scheduled for this evening, May 13th at 7:30 p.m. at the Tigard Town Hall, 13125 Southwest Hall Boulevard. I've been speaking with Steve Bintliff with Tigard First. The group filed a complaint today with the city attorney in Tigard, accusing the Tigard City Council of allocating funds from Tigard's city gas tax fund in violation of the code in order to widen a street next to a new Walmart. This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News. You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news, so now it's your turn. Joining us are Larry and Barbara to talk with you about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
I'm Barbara, and I'm here with Larry.
Hi, Larry.
And we're going to tell you what to do right now, which is to call 877-500-5266 and become a member of KBOO. And when you become a member of KBOO, you're going to help to keep this kind of news that is locally produced and locally oriented and comes from the grassroots. It's news by and for the people. And it's news that you won't hear anyplace else with the same kind of focus and the same kind of perspective anywhere else in Portland. It's news that we can produce like this, locally produced and locally focused, because we get money from you, the community. So give a call right now at 877-500-5266. You know, Larry, there are no other locally produced news shows on the radio anymore in Portland. There used to be a time when the other public radio station had a half-hour newscast, which was quite respectable, but they bowed to the pressure of being a high-profile public radio station with lots of pressure coming from the national office. And so they took their local news and they broke it into little segments and folded into All Things Considered and Morning Edition. So you don't really even know when you're going to get to hear local news on that station anymore. But here at KBOO, we've been giving you an hour of local news, locally produced local news. Well, actually, I think that when we're not in pledge drive, we have a half hour of national news from from some source. It's changed over the years. But we are still really focused on giving you local news, and giving you news is produced here at KABU. And we can do that because of you, because you are going to call right now at 877-500-5266 and become a member of KABU. Or you can go online to kboo.fm and click on the tip jar. Become a member of KABU and help to continue this incredible experiment that's been going on for 46 years now of community-owned and operated radio.
Exactly. You know, you're mentioning, like, there isn't much locally produced news on the radio now, and that is true, because a lot of radio stations throughout the United States have been sort of bought up in recent years by these huge corporations, and now, you know, they don't produce local news anymore. And you turn on the TV and you get McNews. You get fluff news from the TV. You know, it's like you need a place like KABU, you get a completely different perspective. You get a more critical attitude toward the powers that be. And you get a definite left-wing point of view from KABU Radio. And so I think those are all good things. And if you support KABU's mission as much as we do, give us a call at 877-500-5266.
And actually, Larry, I'm going to disagree with you just a little bit. I think that we do more than do a left-wing perspective, because I think what we do, we come from definitely a progressive place, but we are showing a lot of perspectives that are not going to be heard anywhere. We've actually given time to people on the right. We've given time to a lot of people, I think, that a lot of us might disagree with. But one of the best ways to find out where you stand and what your position is to hear people who disagree with you, and to help to kind of frame what you're doing.
You hear so many opinions. You know, they're all over the map here at KABU. Every community gets a voice here at KABU, really. And that's the cool thing, too, because a lot of these communities that are represented at KABU are basically ignored, again, by the mainstream media. So I think that is really another wonderful thing about KABU.
So need to give a call at 877-500-5266.
I'd also like to thank the restaurants that have donated food today to KABU for our volunteers for the duration of this pledge drive. Today we have Tabla Bistro, which is at 200 Northeast 28th Avenue, which provided food earlier today, and Karam Restaurant, which is at 515 Southwest 4th Avenue downtown. Both of them were generous enough to provide food today for our volunteers. We are grateful. Thank you very much. So they volunteered food. I'm volunteering my time. I'm not being paid to be here. And dear listener, we ask you to phone up and give a small donation or a large donation.
Why don't you volunteer your money, actually?
Exactly.
And this news show that you're listening to right now, this is all volunteer. We like to say it's volunteer-powered, volunteer-driven, volunteer-produced. And we couldn't do what we do. We would have to raise a huge amount of money if we were going to be paying everybody that is just generously coming in and helping out, because they feel passion. They really feel motivated to do this. So give a call right now at 877-500-5266 and match the motivation of the KABU News Department.
That's true. Yeah. We do quite a lot. We have a lot of different sorts of shows. We represent many different communities. So call us, 877-500-5266.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KABU Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KABU membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for KABU News In Depth with me, Kristen Yount. I interviewed Miko Williams, an organizer for the After Party Detroit, about today's meeting between Michigan lawmakers and Detroit Emergency Manager Kevin Orr. Governor Rick Snyder promised to help save Detroit pensions and the Detroit Art Institute, and now the Republican-heavy legislature wants Detroit to find money elsewhere and has set up unreasonable rules for monetary dispersal. This will be followed by Out Loud at 6. Tonight's Out Loud welcomes back Dave Weissman of the QDOC, the Queer Documentary Film Festival. Tune in and support KABU and get tickets to the QDOC Film Festival as a thank you gift. At 7, it's a live broadcast from Oaks Park Roller Rink, where music in a KABU special, Bounce, Roll, and Skate. Tomorrow's weather will be an awesome high of a 90 degrees and a night low of 57 degrees. Out. 62, 61, 60, 59. In today's Radcast, the only citizen-led radiation count on the air. Radiation levels for today are counts per minute. In North Portland, 32 and a high of 55. Hanford, Washington has 28 counts per minute. EPA alert levels start at 100 CPM. For more information can be found at radcast.org.
The Sightline News Agency has issued a new report that the state of Oregon has suffered an average of 9 freight train derailments a month in recent years. After a string of high-profile derailments and explosions, communities across North America are concerned about the risks of an oil train explosion. The group investigated accident reports submitted to the U.S. Federal Railroad Administration to map every derailment in the Northwest from June 2011, when regulators began requiring railroads to report the exact location of mishaps, through December 2013. They found that there was a derailment in Oregon on average every 3.5 days.
In 2012, an initiative to legalize marijuana in the state of Oregon was defeated in a vote of 46.75% to 53.25%. Pro-legalization advocates, however, will likely have a chance to vote on the matter again this year. Signatures are currently being gathered for the 2014 ballot by two campaigns. One is a revised version of the measure that failed in 2012, and the other is a measure similar to the law in Colorado. A survey done by DHM Research for Oregon Public Radio showed that 53% of voters would support legalization for adults age 21 and over, while only 38% would oppose it.
17 miners are dead and around 300 are trapped underground in western Turkey after an explosion collapsed this morning at a mine in Manisa province. A power distribution unit exploded, triggering a fire that damaged support beams and led to the collapse. The blast occurred during a shift change, so the exact number of workers still trapped in the mine's tunnels is unknown, but at least 200 of the mine's 500 workers made it safely to the surface. Rescue efforts are underway, including pumping air into the mine shaft and pulling out those miners who are close to the surface, but the death toll is expected to rise since many of the trapped workers are 2 kilometers underground in tunnels that are sometimes as long as a kilometer. Turkey has a poor record of mine safety and oversight, and it is yet unclear whether this disaster will lead to change. Turkey's disaster occurred less than 24 hours after a collapse at a mine in West Virginia that killed 2 workers. That mine, Brody No. 1, is owned by Patriot Coal. And last October, the Mine Safety and Health Administration added it to a list of mines that exhibit a pattern of safety violations. Patriot Coal claims that most violations in question occurred before they bought the mine in 2012, but records show that almost 200 violations, including 33 for reckless disregard for miner safety, occurred during the past year when Patriot was the owner.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Please call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Tanya Gomez-Daza, Chris Hartgrove, Sam Bowman, and Robert Fisher. The producer and engineer extraordinaire is Sequoia Wright. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. Podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Kristen Yount.
And I'm Emily Young. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8 on Wednesday Talk Radio, Sam Bowman hosts a look at the attempt by a consortium of organic farmers to have GMOs banned in Oregon's Jackson County. The measure's opponents have amassed an unprecedented $900,000 in campaign contributions from mostly out-of-state interests, including Monsanto, DuPont, and Syngenta. At 9, it's a special tribute to Eve's Garden. Eve's Garden was a KBOO program from the late 70s until the late 80s, hosted by Annabeth Eve Parker Jameson, who died in early January. Jen Davis hosts a tribute to Eve's work with help from Eve's children, Alex and Brendan. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on The Dirt Bag, host Glenn Andreessen and guest Jim Gilbert take the hard-to-muster, the will task of thinning both fruits and veggies. But thin you must. Plus, easier methods of garden pest control.
Coming up next in... Coming up next is a news in-depth piece about the current situation in Detroit, Michigan, and how the city is facing bankruptcy and how it connects to Portland. But first we go to Barbara and Larry to talk about supporting people-powered community radio, the one and only 100% volunteer-hosted station in Oregon.
Hey, we're back.
I'm Barbara.
And I'm Larry.
And we're here to tell you why you should go to your phone right now and dial 877-500-5266. And that will make you a member of KBOO as soon as the phone is answered by our operators sitting behind Larry and me. And they'll walk you through the whole process of becoming a member. And when you get off the phone, you will feel elation like you've never felt before.
It's easy. It's simple. It takes about 2 minutes on the phone. We don't ask for a lot of like nosy information about you. We just get your credit card and debit card.
Your date of birth and your mother's maiden name. That's all we get.
Not even that much. Just your address. That's all we need.
Okay.
You know?
Oh, that's true. We're not the NSA.
Yeah, we're not the NSA. Okay.
We are just there. We're here for you, actually. We are here to help you feel connected with your community. And I know, I remember when I first moved to Portland many years ago, and I was looking for a radio, and in those days, KBOO was about 20 watts or something. It was hard to get KBOO in many parts of the city. And I went to Fred Meyer's and listened to all the radios there and picked the one that had the best reception for KBOO, brought it home, and I could still get it at my house a mile away. And I was happy. And I was amazed when I came to Portland. And KBOO was a very small station then, and you could basically just walk in the door and get a show. Things have changed. Now you have to go through training, which is a good thing. We don't have egg cartons on the walls anymore for insulation, soundproofing. We actually have real soundproofing and real studios.
And a real building.
And we own our building outright.
And that's really
good. We're respectable folks. But the reality of it is that to put on radio like we're doing costs a lot of money. Even when you do it on a shoestring like we do it, even when you have a skeletal staff of six employees who work far harder than anybody should ever work, but they are really dedicated and fantastic employees and help to keep the station going. But for the most part, they're not the people you hear on the air. Everybody on the air, with the exception of Jenka and Kathleen Stevenson, are volunteers. And they are doing it. They come on, whether it's once a week or once a month, or some people are here every day, actually, not usually on the air every day, but doing stuff every day, because they feel this passion for community radio. They feel this passion for all the things that they believe strongly in, the social change that we all want to make. And they do it by coming to KBOO and doing their thing. And you can do your thing right now by calling 877-500-5266 or go online at kboo.fm. Click on the tip jar, become a member of KBOO.
It's easy. It's fast. Give us a call. 877-500-5266.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Hello, this is Kristen Yount reporting for KBOO News. I'm speaking with D'Amico Williams. D'Amico is a student, a resident of Detroit, and an organizer for the newly formed After Party of Detroit. The big news in Detroit today is that the emergency manager, Kevin Orr, made an appeal to the Michigan lawmakers in Lansing for $195 million to make good on a deal to save pensions and the Detroit Institute of Art. Is that how you're seeing it?
Yes, I guess that's how they're reporting it, but we know that the devil is in the details, and I just saw the appeal just a couple of moments ago on a newsflash, and I was really disappointed that it takes this much to go to the legislature to beg and plead for money that they are entitled and obligated to pump into the city of Detroit. Right now, we have over $753 million in revenue sharing that needs to come home to the city of Detroit. And what people need to understand is that the state of Michigan has not paid Detroit any money for the last couple of years. It has not missed the payroll. Detroit has not missed the payroll before 2012, before the emergency management appointment. And that the state had siphoned money off to keep Detroit quiet, I guess, for all of these years, until Governor Rick Snyder came in and said that, no, we have to, you know, regulate Detroit. So they started implementing all of these tactics that were unfair to the citizens. 53% of citizens that said no to emergency management in 2011. So anything that's dealing with the bankruptcy and what's going on today that led up to Lansing is just egregious. It's too much of a farce, and this needs to be stopped immediately, dead in its tracks, before it gets way too far.
So you say okay. That the devil is in the details. What yes. is it about the bankruptcy bailout that doesn't make sense?
Well, first of all, they want 20-year oversight of the city of Detroit, which is impossible, because the way that they want it to happen is that the governor selects five people of his own and gives to the mayor to select the five that the governor's picked. First of all, citizens did not want this type of management. Okay, so that's number one, state oversight. That they, the last time we had state oversight was over our school system in 1999, and 10 to 15 years later, our schools have been closed, sold off, and our children have been left behind. Number two, they want $195 million. This is up from the $350 million offer that was offered from the public foundations and institutions that are involved with this grand bargain scheme. Well, why do we want money from the state when the state owes us more than $800 million in revenue sharing or more, and they have to pay the damages? Remember, Kevin Orr is not a representative of the city of Detroit. The city of Detroit, meaning the mayor, its elected officials, had not filed for bankruptcy. He did, under the guise of the governor. So Kevin Orr and Jones Day Law Firm are credit and debtor in this case. The Michigan legislature is holding a gun up to the public foundations and the unions, trying to make them pay money that they don't have. But see, the real problem is that the state doesn't want to take responsibility, so therefore it's extorting the public foundations, those who are from the Mackinac Policy Center on down to the billionaires, to come up with this money. Along with this deal is a breaking of the law, the Michigan Constitution, that rules that they cannot take against their own pensions. You know,
yeah.
they're going against their own rule in the Constitution. So what people have to understand is that even if the state legislature came up with these laws in these bills of packages, including there's a provision saying that the pension board has to be selected by members of the governor and the mayor, that's instant ethics violations, conflict of interest, and possible corruption that has resulted in this crisis anyway.
Can you talk about what the revenue sharing is?
Revenue sharing is when you submit a budget, the state of Michigan reviews it, and they give you a certain amount, just like every other city, such as Traverse City, Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo, and those areas. What Governor Snyder has done since 2011 is that he stopped the revenue sharing to Detroit and other cities. He starved them under financial distress, causing them to merge their police departments, fire departments, municipality services. He ruled over Benton Harbor. He snatched funding away from Benton Harbor, which caused them to eradicate the town, meaning that they had to sell off their only asset, which was police, fire, and everything. Everything is privatized, bought up by Whirlpool. You understand what I'm saying, meaning that the revenue sharing that comes to cities has been stopped and has been redirected towards, you know, other initiatives or activities. So you're causing the cities to go broke or to have financial distress.
And then they have to go to the private companies. There's so much.
They're catering to the private companies and to those people that bus in their citizens to advocate their agenda, and they're drowning out the actual local people's voice.
So
that are opposed to cuts in the revenue and education, and therefore, you know, Governor Snyder has decided that he does not want to respect the people's will, so he'll do whatever he wants, damn what we say or not. What we're seeing here is that everything from the bankruptcy on down to this Wisconsin agreement on down to how all of this happened was that Detroit has said no. We said no, and then when we were threatened with the possibility of instilling of emergency manager, then people started relenting because, you know, the threat is just that real. Nobody wants their political reputations ruined over fighting with the emergency manager or the governor, and the citizens are not happy with this whole process at all. I think I smell revolt coming in the streets, what they did to Belle Isle, what the state had did to Belle Isle.
Talk about Belle Isle, because, you know, it's Portland, yeah. And they probably don't know. So
in September of 2013, the city of Detroit owns Belle Isle. It is a 982-acre. It is bigger than, I think it's bigger or close to Central Park. And it is a public park. Well, the state of Michigan have been trying to come in and buy the park from the city of Detroit, take over the lease for 99 years. And the city said, no, we don't want to give it up for, you know, any amount. So then they talked about, you know, going for 10 years, for 20 years. And the city said, no. Yet the state of Michigan, by way of the emergency management, said that, no, we're going to take this park over, damn what you say or not. So they took over the park, and they started installing their state police. And now there's accusations of racial harassment, discrimination, and illegal stop and frisk searches on the island. The state has gotten in trouble for trying to host a private conference by blocking off the island until the news found out and people got a hold of it and started shaming the state. And then they pulled out of it. The state of Michigan has not done anything. There's no revenue. There was supposed to be a $650 million deal when the park actually cost over somewhere in the billion-dollar mark. I can't give the actual amount of that because it wasn't being thoroughly assessed. I'm pretty sure everyone in the country knows that days after Detroit filed for bankruptcy, Mike Ilitch tried to muscle in his new arena by using public funds, and that went ahead.
They're going to level a bunch of homes in Midtown. Is that right?
Yes. Where I used to live, I used to live in Midtown. Where he is trying to locate is by Cass Corridor, and that's a part of Midtown. But Cass Corridor used to be a really bad area. Right now, it's a little level. There's nothing happening there. Mike Ilitch is going to take the whole land. He's going to demolish everything in its path to build this new stadium off of public money that we don't have. Remember, we are a broke city. We don't have any money. You would think in bankruptcy, any money that was spent by the city is to be in escrow. No, there is still money that is involved, and Mike Hill had gotten the go-ahead without community benefits agreements, without giving Detroiters jobs, without giving opportunities to local businesses. And he just basically got 100% of his profits, and the city would not collect a dime. There's also him paying $800 million in taxes to the city of Detroit that he has not paid.
In places like Portland, where you have companies that, like Nike and Intel, that don't pay their taxes, and they get these sweetheart deals from the government because they, you know, they say jobs, 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 but in reality, we need services, 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 and we need people, we need infrastructure money. And
city services has tanked. I mean, they just privatized the police, the garbage system, and we come to find out that one of the contracted persons that is over the new garbage disposal is a contributor of the mayor and to the governor. So, you know, with those kind of ties, you wonder, is it really a clean slate, or is it the same old thing, but we're just going to refresh the old ways of doing business? You understand what I'm saying? We come to find out that the police department, the media reported that the police and fire had cut a deal to settle the bankruptcy, but we come to find out that they're either being forced to take a cut or they're going to get cut anyway, and they have no other prospects, and the union president is telling them, you have to find employment elsewhere. 20, 30 years ago, Detroit was the best police force to work in the country. Now it's just depreciated, you know, after so many things have happened. Budget cuts where officers are working 12-hour days, no sleep, no reprieve, no overtime at $9 an hour. I mean, it's just sad. Firefighters can't even get to the fires on time, and people get angry, and they turn on the firemen and the police, you know.
Thank you so much for talking with KBOO today. This is Kristen Yount for KBOO News.
And we're back now. I'm Barbara. I'm here with Larry. And we're here to tell you why you should become a member of KBOO. Larry, why should they become a member of KBOO?
Oh, there's so many reasons. I mean, you know, if you support the kind of programming you're hearing, you know, I think basically in my mind, KBOO is a tremendous resource for the city of Portland. I mean, it's one reason why people in Portland are more aware of the forces that control their lives than people in some other places I've lived. There are many reasons for that. I find people in Portland kind of sophisticated and aware of the world and of politics. And I think one reason, among many, is KBOO Radio. It's a tremendous resource for the city of Portland. There isn't much of this going on as the radio stations keep getting bought up by giant conglomerates. So it's like, you know, I support KBOO very much. I think it's a tremendous you know, resource for the city of Portland. So I support it fully, and I encourage you to support also.
So how can they support us?
Well, the main thing is just call us at 877-500-5266 and make a donation. It only takes a couple minutes. Small donations are fine. We operate on a shoestring budget, so we really make your donation dollar stretch, and we don't waste a penny.
And the number to call again slowly is 877-500-5266. You can also go online to kboo.fm and click on the tip chair and become a member that way. And we're not asking for much. You can do it for as little as $40 a month. Actually, you can do it for less than that.
$10 a month even,
but
actually.
$40 a month. You can do it for $40 a year, actually, but $40 a month would be great. But like $10 a month is kind of like an average, really good membership. And lots of people do it. That's what I do myself.
You'll hardly even notice.
It's like, it's nothing at $10 increments, but it comes out to $120 a year, which means a lot to the station. And what happens, we sign you up. You're going to give a call right now at 877-500-5266. And some very nice person right behind me is going to answer the phone and walk you through a whole process of having $10 a month taken from your bank account or your credit card or your debit card, however you want to do it, and put directly into our bank account each month. All you have to do is, when you're balancing your checkbook or checking your credit card statement, just make sure you note that $10 a month.
Exactly.
But it's painless. it's really very little money. I can attest to that. I never even think about that $10 that goes out of my bank account every month. And yet I know every month that KBOO is getting this little infusion from me and from you and hopefully from a whole lot of yous. So you need right now to call at 877-500-5266 and become a member of KBOO and join this incredible movement, this incredible revolution that we've made on the airwaves. In some ways, we're like holdovers. Larry and I were talking about the issues with the internet and a kind of cutting into radio listening. But I know myself as an inveterate radio listener, I do not want to let go of radio. I do not want to let go of KBOO. I want KBOO to continue as it's always been and to just keep getting better and to grow with the times. And you can help us grow by calling 877-500-5266.
877-500-5266.
I'm Don Merrill, and I've been talking to as many Oregon state judicial, legislative, and gubernatorial candidates for 2014 office as I can. And I've been talking to them all. Deep blue, progressive, liberal, democratic, centrist, independent, republican, conservative, libertarian, deep red. Many of these candidates get ignored by the mainstream media, but they're not ignored here. Hear these interviews on my podcast at www.kboo.fm/between us. Listen to the people who want to lead you in 2014. Oregon State Judicial, Legislative, and Gubernatorial Candidate Interviews at my podcast, www.kboo.fm/between us.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair-accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212, in Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or radiocab.com.